Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 3 this morning, Genesis chapter number 3. And we're going to read the first 13 verses as we have done the last few weeks. I will say this before I get started. Some people say, Chad, when you talk and when you read God's Word, can you please slow down? And I forget that I talk fast at times, so I will do my best to read God's Word accordingly, and hopefully we can have a better understanding of it. So I will do my best this morning. Let's begin reading in verse number one of chapter number 3. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Let's pray once again. Lord, we are grateful again that we are able to be here this morning. I thank you for the privilege to be able to stand behind this pulpit. I thank you for the foundation that has been laid for this place to continue to go forth, the work that has been put forth into this. God, I pray that we would continue as a body of Christ to continue the work that has been started. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. I thank you for each and every one that has walked through these doors, that have put miles on their cars, that have filled the tank with the gas that they need to get here, the sacrifice that it takes at times. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you for their love that they have for you. Lord, I pray for the one this morning that, Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has yet to come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to do the work that is necessary in whose life, whoever it may be, until they get it right with you. And Lord, if that takes place today, and I hope it does, Lord, let us rejoice with them. Let us be happy. Lord, I pray for one who might be struggling to have a relationship with you. God, it's never too late to come back and to be in fellowship with you. So God, I pray that you would, again, have the Holy Spirit do the convicting. Lord, I pray for myself as I deliver this message. Lord, the spiritual battle that has taken place this week because of this message, the spiritual battle that's going to take place as I begin to speak the very words that you want me to speak, God, I pray that your will be done. And Lord, I pray for the family. Lord, this is what we've been dealing with for the past 3 weeks. God, I pray not just for my family, but Lord, for the families that are here this morning, that you would just guide them. And I pray, Lord, that you would put your loving arms of protection about them. And Lord, I pray that you would grant them safety. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Satan Attacks the Family, Part 3, is what we're going to be dealing with this morning. And I hope that it's been an encouragement to you. I hope it's been a challenge to you, one, to man, to be the leader in your homes, to set the example that you need to set, not only for your wife, but for your children as well. So the last few weeks, we have been going over the attack of Satan on the family. We have covered four of the 10 items that we have that we're going to cover here again shortly, but I'm going to give you a quick review of the last four, just in case you folks have forgotten, or maybe there's somebody new in here this morning that missed out on the first couple, so I'm going to give you a chance to write these notes down if you need to. The first one that we dealt with a few weeks ago is Satan aims to destroy what God has created. Number two, he wants to destroy the witness of our marriage. Last week we dealt with the third one, he is out for our children because he hates them. And fourth, he is out to destroy the home that makes disciples. So often we forget the disciple making, how important it is inside of our homes. But once the devil gets into the home, it becomes very hard to get him out. And folks, we should not even be allowing him access into our homes. We should be guarding our homes. We should be protecting our homes from him so that he cannot only not only attack us, so that he can't only attack our children as well. Again, men, it is very important for you to be taking a leadership role in the household. So often and so much is going on today that women are running the household today. And let me say this. I'm not against women by any means. But God did not call the lady to lead the house. God called the man to lead the home. God called the man to make the wife holier before the Lord. And so, men, I hope that you see the tremendous responsibility that you have to be the leader that God has called you to be for your family. Why do we have to be a leader for our family, men? Because we have an obligation to protect the family that God has entrusted us with. And we will be held accountable, men, for how we lead our family. We will stand before God and we will be accountable for how we lead them or for how we have led them astray. This morning we will continue to in more areas to where Satan will attempt to attack the family. And why will he attack the family? For this reason, he is relentless. And he is out to conquer. As I said for the first one that we covered with, he's out to conquer what God has created. And what will he do to throw us off course? What will he do to get us to walk away from God? He will do a few things, and one of those things is this. He will throw darts at us daily. Which is why, as we went through in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, the importance of putting on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we need to have that armor on so when those darts are thrown at us, they'll bounce off. And with the armor of God being put on, he has and will be continuously defeated. You know, as a child of God, you have victory over Satan, but so often we live in defeat. Well, why do we live in defeat? Well, because we lose our joy, first of all. Second of all, we don't have the faith in God that we used to have. Third of all, we depend upon ourselves instead of depending upon God. So the fifth area that we're going to be dealing with today is Satan will attack in our witness. Satan will attack in our witness. Satan is out to bring harm, and he's out to bring damage to our witness that we have. After salvation, the devil loses us from his kingdom forever. And can I get an amen for that? I am thankful today that when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the gates of hell were closed. I no longer had access there. Thankful for that this morning. He hates the fact, because you have accepted him as his Lord and Savior, he hates the fact that the doors have been closed on you for going to hell, but he also hates the fact that you and I have a desire to follow Jesus. And so because of that desire that we have to follow Jesus, he's going to throw those attacks at us continuously, daily. He's relentless. He's not going to give up. He's not going to tire of it. He's not going to wear out of it. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He's going to keep going and going and going until he is victorious in a life of a believer. But folks, let me encourage you this morning. Don't let Satan have victory in your life. Well, how can I have the victory over Satan in my life? Well, I explained the first one to you, salvation. Second is the Word of God. Satan hates the Word of God. All you have to do is open up the Word of God, and Satan will leave. I'm not kidding you. Just mentioning his name, Satan hates that fact, and he'll leave. Satan is out to attack our witness. Even though this has taken place, Satan doesn't back away. He reloads, and he works even harder to get us not to follow Christ. The great thing about this is he can't rip us away from the kingdom of God. He cannot rip us out of the hands of God, because once we are saved, we're saved. Amen? Now, we don't always live our life as if we're saved. As a matter of fact, we live our lives pretty devilish at times. We live our lives not very glorifying to God. That happens. But I got some great news about that. God forgives, and we can come back and continue living for him. So what can he do in the process? Well, he can do this. He can dim our lights for the gospel. He can dim our lights for the gospel. This is how he can harm our witness. We don't probably think about this often, but Satan is out to ruin your testimony. He's out to ruin my testimony. He's out to ruin your children's testimony. He's out to ruin your wife's testimony, because he doesn't want you to be a witness for the Lord. There are a few ways that he is able to harm our witness. One is this: he may corrupt your mind and steer you away from the simplicity of Christ and his gospel. We're going to do some turning this morning, so go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And we will read verse number 3 this morning. It says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So he'll try to corrupt your mind to steer you away. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6 this morning. And we'll read verse number 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He may wrestle against you, fighting against your progress in Christ." That's what verse number 12 is all about. Here is another way where he might tempt you, or he might harm your witness. He may tempt you to commit sexual immorality against your spouse as a result of neglecting the intimacy of your marriage. Turn back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 this morning. Verse number 5, it says, "Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistencies. He may sow tares, counterfeit Christians, or sons of the devil, or one within the assembly of believers, in order to deceive and create disunity." Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. The book of Matthew, chapter number 13, to back me up in this statement that I just said. We'll read this here, verse number 38 through verse number 39. Matthew 13, verse number 38 through 39. I'll give you a few seconds to get there. It says this in verse number 38. It says, "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is in the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels." Go ahead and turn your Bibles again to 2 Corinthians. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. All I'm doing is giving your fingers a workout this morning and a chance for you to get to know the books of the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, it says this in verse number 13 down through verse number 15. I'll read these three verses. It says, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So he may sow tares, counterfeit Christians, sons of the devil, or one within the assembly of believers in order to deceive and create disunity. He may try to harm your witness by prowling about seeking to capture and to destroy you, chiefly through pride." Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 5. If you're having trouble finding it, it is after the book of James and it is before 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, we read in verse number 6 down through verse number 8, it says this. It says, Humble yourselves therefore, the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So he's amongst us, he's prowling about, he's seeking to capture us, he's seeking to destroy us, and he will do these things chiefly through pride. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians once again. 2 Corinthians once again, chapter number 4. I love backing stuff up with Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 8 through 9, it reads this. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He may ruin your testimony by trying to cripple your effectiveness through confusion, discouragement, and despair. Don't think that he isn't out for you, because he is out for you, and he will attack the leader of the family. He is out for you because this is what he lives for. He lives for a child of God to be attacked. He lives to attack. He lives to destroy. He lives to bring havoc. He lives to bring confusion. He lives to bring disunity amongst believers. He lives to bring disunity in the family. And he's going to continue to do these things while we are alive on earth. And it's important for us to guard the heart. Why is the family under constant attack? And why does the family have defeat amongst this? Because sometimes, unfortunately, the guarding of the heart does not take place at the home. And that starts with the leader of the family. I can't stress to you enough how important it is for the leader of the family to be in the Word of God, to lead his family. I will say this, it's not the pastor's job to lead your family, it is your husband's job to lead the family. But so often that's what we depend upon. The pastor can only show you and encourage you to do things, but the leadership should come from the husband. It is a 24-hour battle. We can't be caught lying down on the ground, gentlemen. We have to protect our family. I tell you this, I will do anything to protect my family. At any cost, I will do what I have to do. And I hope that's your mentality as well. The sixth area that Satan attacks is this. It's in the ministry. And I'm going to elaborate on this much more. He may strive to remove people from the ministry. That's his goal. Church leaders debate what sin disqualifies us, but the argument is beside the point here. The bottom line is that Satan wants to destroy our homes, that we have nothing left for the ministry. I'll give us a few ways Satan will attack spiritual leaders. And hopefully we can see how important it is to be praying for our leaders that God has given us. And I'm going to throw this in the end, but I'm going to say it right now. Men, you're the spiritual leader of the house. You're not disqualified from this. The first thing that he will do to us for distraction is this. He will distract leaders from their devotional life. What do leaders do when no one is looking? Alone time with God in the Bible and in the matter of prayer matters. A lack of quiet time with God affects the ministry. It not only affects the pastor, not only affects anybody else that's involved as far as leadership in church, but it affects the family at home. A father that prays to God, a father that allows that devotion time with God is a family, is a man that will allow God to lead his family. And that's what we need to get back to. Every time I stand at this pulpit, it should show that I have been spending time with God. And if there ever comes a time where it doesn't show that, you better be talking to me. Because I'm accountable for how I lead this flock that God has entrusted me with. You should be seeing growth. There should be no excuses. Well, I was too busy to do this, and I couldn't do this because this came up. No, I don't want my devotional life to deteriorate. I want it to continue to blossom and to go forth. The life of a pastor or teacher that gives the word of God to others should show growth. This might sound crazy, but I have heard about men who don't even study. Can you imagine being in a ministry, being over a group of people, and they don't even take the time to open up God's word to study? That baffles me. Here's what I've heard that they do. All they do is download a sermon. Could you imagine if I showed up here every Sunday and every Wednesday night with a downloaded sermon? That would be disgraceful. But they download it, they'll preach it. Some even belong to a club where they get messages once a week. They spend $50 on it once a month to get messages, and they get those things and they download it and give it to the people. But these men don't last very long in the ministry. Why? Because they don't really have a love for the people. As I said earlier, in Sunday school, it's nothing but a job. But in a process, they cause a lot of harm. A prayer life as a leader should be very strong as well. The second way is getting leaders to focus on their kingdom. Some leaders think they deserve all the attention and recognition in the world. A distracted focus will weaken the leader in their daily ministry. The third way is done by isolating a leader in loneliness. And this happens quite often. A leader who looks so together and so popular is one who is secluded and isolated. Leaders who fight battles on their own are destined for defeat in spiritual warfare. The fourth way is by convincing leaders that failure won't happen to them. No leader expects to fail, and a few recognize their dangerous steps in the wrong direction. They come to their senses only after failure has cost them, and every Christian leader is being attacked by Satan. He has a desire to ruin them in the ministry. I shared with you a few weeks ago of men that we used to go to camp with that preached before us on many different occasions where their testimony was ruined, where they caught the eye of another lady and they went down to sin of having an affair, and they ruined their testimony and they lost their church and they walked away from God. Satan is out to ruin and he's out to pull people away from the ministry. I'm going to begin to close with this. I'm going to focus on another spiritual leader. And it's not the one in the church. It's the one in the home. And I'm talking about the man. And you men are probably saying, man, Chad, I've had enough. Would you stop beating me up? Let me say this. Take it up with God. He put it upon my heart. But what we fail to see is that God has called us to be the priest in our homes. And I'm thankful for the men who see the responsibility and take it seriously and lead their families according to how God wants them to lead their families. But there are many men who don't do this. Why? Because they're neglecting their leadership role in their family. Satan is after the husband. He's after the father who desires to lead his family closer to God. And a question that you need to ask yourself is this. Have I allowed Satan to ruin my testimony in the family that God has called me to lead? I can only answer that for myself. I can't answer that for you. The home, we don't recognize this near enough. But the home is a church as well. We are to be leading our families closer to God. A pastor will stand before God and be accountable for how he led the church. So likewise will the husband and the father stand before an almighty God and be held accountable for how he has led the family. Men, it's not your wife's job to lead your family closer to God. It is your job. And we neglect those duties. The spiritual role of the husband or the father is just as important as the spiritual leader of the church. Your job's no different than mine. We have a responsibility to teach the Word of God to our spouse. We have the responsibility to teach the Word of God to our children. We have the responsibility to teach the Word of God to our grandkids, if God grants us grandkids. We have that responsibility. God's called us to be the leader of the home. And we will be held accountable. The question is, are you leading your family according to how the Word of God desires you to lead? Or are you neglecting the Word of God and leading how you want it to be led? There's danger in that. And when that is done, what is taking place is Satan's having victory over the attack of God's family. It is our job, men, to protect our family. I'm glad Francis is up here this morning. Francis is, I consider him a good friend. But I've seen how he has raised his children. I have seen the influence that he is in their life. I have seen how serious it is to him. I've watched on many different occasions open up his Word of God and explain the Word of God to his children. And that is a tremendous example. And I see that take place in several men in this auditorium. I'm just picking on Francis because he's up here. But what a testimony to stand before God someday and God's going to say, Francis, well done on leading your family closer to me. What a tremendous testimony. Guard your heart. Lead your family the way God wants you to lead it, according to his word. Not according to what I say or what I do, but according to God's word. Amen? Let's stand and have a word of prayer. And I don't know if I should have an invitation today, but I'm going to have Chris come forward and play a verse or two. And if God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to take care of business if God has prompted you to do so. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for showing me the importance of not just being the leader of the family, spiritual leader, leading my family closer to you, but Lord, show me the importance of taking that a step further and teaching your people the importance of being that godly influence being that one of consistency and one that is stable in the Word of God. Lord, Satan is trying so hard to destroy our families. He's working. He's being successful in some lives. I don't know if that's here, but Lord, I know other places he's being successful. But God, I pray that Satan would have no success in this family this morning. Lord, I pray, and I pray with such seriousness that you would guard all of our hearts. Lord, help me to be a better husband, a better father, a better leader for your church. Lord, help me to stay close to you. Lord, don't let my personal devotion life become hindered because of excuses. Lord, don't let my prayer life become hindered because I feel like I don't have time. But God, help me to find strength and encouragement in you every single day. God, if you have ministered to hearts this morning and if folks need to respond to your word, I pray that they would do so. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.